Let's Go Otsuko.
And I'm in quarantine.
At home.
Hey guys, it's me, Otsuko. Woohoo! Back in the studio. In my home. How are y'all doing during this time? It is day... Blah, blah, blah. Who's counting? I'm not counting anymore. I am in LA, where we have gone into phase two, according to our governor here in California. Phase two, which means that some non-essential stores have now opened. What are those? Bookstores. Florists. Is that how you... Flowerists. Okay. Clothing stores. Which, I don't know how that's going to work. This is all curbside pickup. I have yet to try going to any of these stores because I'm just scared that people are like too excited and they're going to be reckless in the streets. Just be like, "Ooh, books." I'm not... I just imagine people going crazy just because there's some facade of freedom now. So y'all go and get these books. Y'all go and get your flowers, curbside pickup. Y'all go get these clothes, okay? How are you going to try that top on? I guess, yeah, how does that work? Is there no refunds for clothes right now? Like you just have to go, "I think I'm a size large." And then they bring it out and then... You try it at home. If it didn't fit, then maybe it's yours. I mean, these clothing stores are not going to take the things you tried on back, are they? Or maybe every piece of clothing that's returned has to quarantine for 14 days afterwards too. Just like little tiny crop tops being quarantined on their own in a little room. Ooh, my imagination is wild. Well, it's time for me to introduce my guest. Today, my guest is in the East Coast, so we chatted with a time difference, but that's the cool thing. You can chat with anybody during this time because that's the only way we're gonna hang out. All right? Aparna Nancherla! The very funny Aparna Nancherla. Now, Aparna, I've known for a while now. I think it was 2013 when we booked her for our all-Asian, mostly female stand-up show that we were running called Disoriented Comedy. It was a show that I started with Jenny Yang, Yola Liu, and then later on D-Lo also came on. And what we did was tour and we would feature other Asian American female stand-ups. But since we've met, me and Aparna have done various shows throughout the country together, and she is just so awesome. I'm excited to share with you what we talked about. But first, I wanted to extend a shout out and a thank you to our new Patreon members and to those of you who have stayed with us through this time. It's a very small operation here at the Let's Go Otsuko at Home front. It's just me and Ryan, my husband, running this whole thing. So your support means a lot to us. And we've been getting really great feedback about the new format. And so we're going to continue doing it, keeping my Instagram open for questions for guests. So if you feel so inclined, join our Patreon today at patreon.com/letsgootsuko. There's no tiers in our family, so it's just one tier for $5 a month, okay? For less than the price of a coffee a month, you get to support little old me while I do what I love the most, which is entertaining you all. Plus, being a Patreon member means you get full video versions of the entire episode. Yeah, so if you ever wondered, what was Dulce talking about with her crafts? Oh God, I wish I could have seen her crafts. You can, by joining us on Patreon. Okay, alright, I don't think I took a breath during that whole thing. Anyhow, enough of that. Alright, here's the episode. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here with my guest today, Aparna Nancherla!
Hi! Hello.
Wow. Crowd goes wild. How are you today?
I'm okay. It's kind of sunny here, and I feel like even though I can't go outside every day, I feel like I'm always in a better mood when it's sunny outside.
Yeah, what seeps through your windows, I assume. It seeps the sunlight, right?
Yeah. Like our apartment is all facing the street. So like all the kitchen and living room is all natural window light.
Yeah. And you know, I think it, for me, when it's sunny, I feel better too, even though I'm not out. And I wonder if a little bit is memory.
Oh, yes.
You know, just like
memory of the outside.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like a somatic memory. I start physically feeling like I'm actually getting the vitamin D and
right.
The experience.
Well, I feel like in Los Angeles, I always notice when I'm there, just the amount of sunlight I get, I feel better.
Do you? Yeah, you actually feel a mood change.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it's a placebo effect, but it feels like I'm always kind of more hopeful or something.
Correlation to the city and the dreams that people move here with.
Right.
Possibly.
Maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah. My mother, she stays inside a lot. She doesn't ever leave. She never left, really. She didn't come to my wedding, you know. It's kind
really?
Of, yeah, it's a deep, I'm starting off real vulnerable, but yeah. Since we're talking about like, you know, when it's sunnier, you know, you feel better. She definitely feels better when it's sunnier outside too, is what I've noticed. I'll backtrack a little. She hasn't left the house in a long time because she has schizophrenia.
Okay.
She has schizophrenia and it's just like a part of, I think, her paranoias, and she suffers from depression. And so she just hasn't left the house. But in a weird way, like right now she's with the pandemic.
Right.
She actually... It feels a little better.
Oh, with not going outside as much.
Yeah, I think because she knows everyone else is finally having to do what she's been doing.
Right. It's like everyone has kind of adapted to her way of life.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
What a weird feeling that must be.
For her?
Yeah, for her, because probably it's like the entire world kind of synced up with her for once.
That's right. Yeah. Where she knows that her experience is universal. Everyone is wanting to be out, but they can't.
Yeah, but I don't know if you found in LA, like here, I think there's definitely we've hit a wall with like quarantine fatigue. And now whenever it's sunny outside, like we live near the park, which is great, but then everyone goes outside as soon as it's nice. And
I see.
I would say about maybe half are wearing masks.
Right. You know what? Yeah. Quarantine fatigue is something that I'm seeing for sure. But then in a weird way, you know, sure, my mom has a mental illness, but like her basic personality is already very judgmental, you know? It's just like a part of her before mental illness. And so for her, knowing that people are out, she's just like, well, those people are beneath me. They're dumb. So that it still makes her feel better to know that when people are out, it's because they're not intelligent, especially if they're not wearing masks or something. Isn't that crazy?
I feel bad because when I go out now, I feel very judgmental of everyone else. And I think all comedians are naturally kind of very judgmental of people are being like, why would someone do this? Or why would they behave like that? But right now, you can really thrive as a judgmental person.
You can. And do you verbally say things to people or no?
No, I think I fantasize about it, but I kind of see it always ending badly for me. So I can't do it out loud.
I know, which is a double burden on you.
I know.
Because you're like, I feel this thing, but I shan't say it.
Yeah, I shan't.
Yeah.
I shan't.
Yeah, I'm not like a vocal person either in person.
Right. Like I imagine saying it and then them being like, shut up. And then I'm like, okay.
I why does that make me laugh though? Like thinking about that happening. Because it is unfortunate for you, you know.
Right. But I think it just feels like it wouldn't make any difference at all if I said it versus not saying it. So I think I prefer to avoid the confrontation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What's the craziest thing you've witnessed with your eyes that you were like, oh, God, I want to say something?
I mean, one thing, do you mean ever or recently?
I guess recently where you were like, I want to say something to these people, but I'm not going to because they're going to say, shut up. And I'll just say, okay, and it won't be productive.
Well, I don't know if this is that crazy, but like I just took a walk a little while ago and there's just like huge groups of people hanging out with each other in the park. And it feels like that is exactly what they said not to do right now. So.
Right. Just like clumps of groups.
Yeah.
In public. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a part of me, I have done some digging, you know, I've had some internal
Yeah.
Where I was like, I think a part of me is a little jealous for sure.
Oh, sure. That I'm like, I would love to be congregating right now, but I'm not because they told us not to. And you get to do it because you don't care. But then it's kind of, in a way, it almost feels like they're ruining it for everyone else because they'll make it worse or something. I don't know. It kind of feels like they're not only being selfish, they're like making it this drag out longer for everyone.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a definition of selfish. Or
there's a lot of varieties. Yeah.
What is it in the dictionary? There's usually like, I don't know. I like that there's like two or three definitions to words.
Yes, yes.
And the first one is always, I'm always curious why number one is a certain, you know what I mean? Why number one
is. Yeah, like how do you get to be the number one definition?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I haven't, by the way, like looked up the word to literal recently, the definition to literal, since it's changed. Since it's
It has changed.
Right? It's changed to now it's literally literal or it could be metaphorical.
Oh, because it has just been used that way so much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So
we can really just completely change the definitions of words if enough people agree to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? Exactly. And the makers of words, you know, were never people like us. So it's time, you know.
It's time to change language.
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes use, you know, I just take sometimes my I don't know if it's like an immigrant thing. I think maybe it is where I just confidently say a word. And it's not what I meant to say, but people know what I meant. Does this make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. It's almost like it's almost like an acting class exercise where it doesn't matter the words you're saying. It's kind of like that your intent still comes through.
Yeah, it's like it's Meisner.
Yeah, I think it's Meisner.
Yeah, some people get really into like the actual semantics where they're just like, no, you were using the wrong word. So therefore, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm like, but you did. You did know what I was talking about. I was at a party and I was talking about putting someone on a pedestal.
Right.
And in my head, I was saying pedestal, you know, but I wasn't getting the reaction that I wanted. You know, they were just kind of like troubled the whole time listening. And then I found out I was saying totem pole.
Oh.
But I was like, well, they're both like the height, you know.
It's height and it feels like it's still status.
Yeah.
And kind of a degree of respect you're giving that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like the same overall idea.
Right, totally. I mean,
but you said they look troubled.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the person that I was putting on a pedestal or if it was the word. But then later on, he was like, I just couldn't get over that you were using the wrong word. And I was like, well, shoot, maybe you're going to have a hard time in life then, because
I know.
Well, I am, because sure, like, I'm still learning the language, apparently. But yeah.
But also only if you're around, though, that's like a very specific kind of person. Because I found that sometimes I'll use a word that's not real in a conversation just to see if people call me out on it or not. And sometimes they'll use it back to me and then I'll be like, oh, I got one in.
Wow. See, now you are changing the dictionary.
I guess so.
You are one of the people who can invent new words and meanings.
Yeah. I mean, they'll just be silly words or something. Like, they won't be so ridiculous, but it is funny to have someone use it back when you're like, I really just pulled that out of my hat.
I feel like you're always two steps like ahead of people.
Really?
Yeah. So to be able to do that, that takes a lot of cognitive energy. You have to be highly intelligent to just in regular conversation, make up a word just to see if they would notice and if they would end up using it. And then they do. It's like you got them twice. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Right?
I like this. I want you to be my life coach.
People have
nobody has told me I have great cognitive energy before.
Great cognitive. You'll hear me just spitting out words and putting them together.
I love stuff like that.
But then when I do that, it's because I can't grasp better words fast enough. So I'm actually behind. And then I pulled
it. That's not how it comes across. It comes across the same as what you said about me, where it feels like you're perceiving things on a higher level than the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, people will think that I'm smarter than I actually am. And I let them use that.
Yeah. You gotta let them go with that.
Right. Right. Whether it's like, you know, I used to get tutoring jobs actually, just because
for English?
Anything. I would just, I needed money. This was like right after community college. I needed money. Yeah. So I started posting signs in front of the pediatrician offices where a lot of kids, vulnerable kids and vulnerable parents are.
Of course.
And I need a tutor, Atsuko Katsuka, and I would just put my phone number, not even my resume. And I got so many gigs, I think based on my name.
Whoa.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, because, yeah, they were like, oh, East Asian, they're very good.
Yeah, so I let them. I let them think that.
Yeah.
And used it for my own advantage.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That's on them for believing stereotypes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I also was a bad tutor briefly when I lived in Los Angeles because I also needed extra income, and my friend tutored because it is good money, and she was like, I could probably get you some tutoring work, and it was just helping like high schoolers prep for some kind of entrance exam or like middle schoolers prep for some kind of exam they would take to get into a good high school.
And yeah,
I really was struggling teaching them some of the things. Because the thing was just like, read the test prep book and then just then break it down for them. Right. And I was like, but I'm also having trouble with these concepts.
Yeah, totally. Where it was like a constant catch up for myself.
Yeah.
I would read the thing first and then go to the house.
Yes.
So at least I got there first, you know, I got to the lesson first.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
But then sometimes they'd be like, I don't understand this. And then I would have to be like, well, I don't really understand it either. So I guess we're both in the same boat.
Wow. Honest Aparna. That's what they call you.
Yeah. And that did not last very long.
Aparna, I have actually, speaking of, you know, being honest and vulnerable about our past. Great segue. Great segue.
Yeah.
We have a question actually from a listener.
Oh, what? Okay.
For you. This is from Roxy from Seattle. Okay. She says, Aparna, how do you creatively use a sad girl mindset when you have actually figured your shit out? And maybe it has to do with a little bit of what we were talking about.
That's a good question. And I actually think I can for once answer it. Because I was actually talking about that in therapy recently, where I'm very good at analyzing myself and like why I have like destructive patterns mentally.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm not good at actually changing anything or fixing them. So it's like I can talk about it forever, but then I can't really, like I'm good at intellectualizing everything, but I can't actually, I have a harder time actually like letting myself feel feelings and like let things move through me. So it's almost like I'm talking about it is the easy part for me, and like actually working through my own shit is the part where I struggle. So it's a facade, Roxy. That's my answer.
Interesting.
I don't have my shit figured out.
Well, the facade, I mean, when you're performing, right? I mean, they call it performing because you can't be your true self that you would be at home on stage, right? People have shown up and paid tickets, right?
Right.
Although I feel like there's art forms where you can do that, where you can be your authentic self and be paid for it.
But I think you're right. There's always some level of pretense involved. Even if you're really, really close to yourself, there's still kind of some slight exaggeration, or there's some way you're controlling it so that it's not just whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presumably. I think if you cared. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I think you're right.
But yeah, that's interesting. So you're able to talk about it, but to actually practice like where you wish you were with how you handle things?
Almost like I can tell you like what my problems are, but then I can't actually like implement the things needed to change them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was a psychology major. So it's like this, all the mental health and brain stuff interests me anyway. So I can like, I always like thinking about it and thinking like why my brain tends to see things a certain way. But then in terms of actually being like, well, why don't you try to do it differently? I like can't, I get stuck there.
Hmm. And yeah. I guess also like the second layer to the question was like, do you ever feel like, oh God, is that off brand? Well, you know, so let's say like, I think there's, you know, something to like when you present yourself, when you're doing stand up, right? You have to, there's confidence, there's self-awareness.
Oh, right.
At the same time, you might be talking about like anxiety. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, am I going to look too put together if I'm supposed to have anxiety? you know what I mean?
Right.
It's that.
Yeah. The sort of confident presentation of it undercuts you saying you have it.
Yeah. Which is hard because, I mean, with stand up, you have to have a certain level of confidence enough to, you know, get on stage and do it yourself.
Yeah. And I think I have noticed that. I think I have gotten that feedback sometimes where it's like, well, you say you have a lot of anxiety, but you come across pretty like put together and calm. And I think it's because it's so repressed. It's like I can't, it's like I have trouble actually having it in my body. It's like so stuck in my own head that it doesn't even necessarily come across to other people. And that's like one of my fundamental issues.
Well, I wouldn't say it's an issue, but I think about this all the time too, where, I mean, the only, yeah, what, I think what, that's what's cool about stand-up though, is like,
yeah,
with the stage and the mic, right? It's the only place where people from all walks of life, mm-hmm. like the only thing that we have in common is that for some reason that part makes us feel good. Whether,
right.
even if like usually you can't talk to people at a party or usually right. you're like depressed at home all day, just that part, just doing yeah. that, like just makes you feel better and you're just, you can perform. I don't know. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think just because performance has kind of a level of control to it in that it's like kind of a one-way conversation for the most part. I mean, you're getting that feedback, but it's not like there's less like elements that can just go off track in the way that like a real life conversation or interaction could.
Right.
So I think it, in that sense, there's a little bit more security for people who are like really neurotic or overthink everything to be like, I just say the words that I thought of and then they do this thing.
That's very true. You don't have to wait for, the other person necessarily. You control the timing.
Right.
You can even get off stage earlier if you want.
You really could.
You can also, yeah, you can do longer too. Some people do that.
Some people do longer, but I do have an odd respect for the person who's like, no, I'm done. And they just leave when they want to leave.
Totally.
I mean, assuming it's not like a paid set and they're supposed to do an hour and they're like, 5 minutes is good.
Right. Yeah. I appreciate that too. I wonder if that's why improv. Now, improv is different because
improv feels so different. Sometimes it's kind of wild to me that they are the same. They're like in the same genre.
I think, yeah, it's complete. It's very different muscles.
Yes.
Sure. The ultimate goal is to get laughs. Same goal. Mm-hmm. Same goal.
Same goal.
But it's just different. Kinds of people too.
Yeah, different kinds of people, different mindset going into it, and even like how you take up the stage. I mean, there's overlap, but you're right. It just, there's something fundamentally so different about the approach of stand-up versus improv.
Yeah, well, when you were talking about like if someone's more neurotic and they do stand-up, right, and you don't have to be stuck in a awkward conversation with someone, it's you just talking to an audience. In improv, gosh, it's just like someone else, you know, someone just be like, so I see you're stirring a pot, and then you have to be like, oh yes I am,
yes I am.
And it's just like all the fears that you have if you have anxiety, you know, social right. anxiety. It's just like your team being like telling you what you're doing and you have to be doing that thing and make the scene move forward too. It's too much pressure.
It's so much pressure, and it feels as though comedians at a certain level in improv, if they're really good, they can kind of take the control back, even if someone puts something on them where they're like, you're my mom and I'm mad at you or something, like they can still then take over control of the scene and be like, yeah, okay, I'm the mom, but this is where I want the scene to go or something. Like, it feels like there's still room to maybe not be totally controlled by your teammates, but it's such a personality contest, because I feel like some people are willing to take over, and then others are like, well, I want to be able to work with the group.
are you that person?
I think so. I think I'm more likely to be like, well, I'll let them drive the scene. And I think that is a big difference with stand-up. It's like you don't have to worry about someone else trying to take control.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm the person that's constantly trying to edit out of the scene.
Like end it?
Yeah, you know how they run around in a circle to stop the scene? I would be that person.
Like, this needs to stop.
Yeah, right where now. I'm like, I'm unsure. I'm out.
Yeah. You're like, this one's over too. This one too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I wish we could do that in stand-up, actually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If, like, a bit's not working, someone could just run across the stage.
Yeah, or you do that for yourself. Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Speaking of fears, you were almost on the Let's Go, Let's Go live show in New York.
That's true.
As part of the New York Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And then you got sick, but we did still collect the three facts about you that we asked you for.
Oh, really?
Because
that's right, because I was supposed to do it, so I sent in my facts. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't remember what they were.
Could I read them to you?
Sure.
Okay, so for the Let's Go Otsuko live shows, as you may know, for the listeners, we asked three facts about the contestants, and so we asked Aparna for something she loves, something she fears, and something she desires. And you answered, something you love is plopping on the couch. Mm. Something you fear is running out of small talk with an acquaintance.
Ah.
Something you desire is the ability to talk to animals. Do you remember these answers?
Now I remember. They came back to me. I was like, oh yeah, those would still hold up.
They still hold up?
Yeah.
I have a question about the ability to talk to animals.
Yeah.
So just like all kinds, like Snow White style, which is like she doesn't actually speak animal, right? But
right,
she can like physically hang out with them and they come to her.
Right, right.
Or
right.
Is it more like The Little Mermaid where she's actually talking to the animals?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess like The Little Mermaid, I guess I would want to be able to have actual conversations with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they probably observe a lot of things that humans miss.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. Who would you want to interview first? What animal? About our behavior. Like, hey, what's up with humans? What do you think, mister? Is it a crab?
probably like a dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have a lot of inside intel.
Yeah, let's not go crazy. Let's start with dog. Why? What am I doing? Just like, where would you start? A scorpion or a pigeon? No, yeah, of course, a dog. Or
a pigeon. A pigeon might be good because they're always in the mix in the city.
Yeah, they would give us perspective of, they cover a lot of ground.
They really do. I was telling someone the other day, I've never seen a baby pigeon. I've only seen the adult one. Which makes me think that they're just born as adults. I don't think that's true.
Aparna, that is so true. I do not know what they look like when they come out.
No, I don't either.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't even come out in eggs.
What?
These pigeons, they come out crawling on their elbows.
On their elbows.
Because they just feel like such a mutated, and I don't mean to shit talk pigeons, but I mean, we're all kind of at the same, I think.
Oh,
we've all had it with pigeons. Yeah. You know, I don't know if they come out in precious little eggs like regular birds.
Well, the only reason that I am going to disagree with you is because my friend recently found a pigeon that was like sitting on some eggs, and then she was like trying to make sure it was okay.
Oh.
And then she kept monitoring it, and it ended up taking one of the eggs and leaving one of the eggs.
What?
Like, it's gone now, and one of the eggs is gone, but then one, it just left.
Ooh, that's, okay, that's neglect.
I know.
You know how some animals, like, kill a baby if they know it's, like, deformed or something?
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
I wonder if that's, she knew it was a bad egg.
How do you know it's a bad egg, or is it, like, that Is that what all pigeons do, where they have two and they just pick one?
That's the hardest decision a mother has to make.
I know.
Yeah, or maybe the easiest. I wouldn't trust a pigeon too much to have that much heart, but to think it was like, oh, this is the hardest thing I ever did, you know?
Right.
Because all she, so she took the egg. Is it just, is it with her little feet? Or
that's what I couldn't quite follow with the story. I was like, was it a nest? Like, were they just on the street? I couldn't really understand what she meant by left one egg.
Right. Yeah. That sounds
but
like
maybe
a-
maybe it was a nest, and then maybe she was like, I gotta move to a better nest, but I'm only gonna take one egg.
Yeah. Huh.
That's hard.
Wow. You know, there's pigeon experts like that would be able to answer this. And that's also blows my mind is that there's people out there who study every, there's someone who studies.
Yeah.
There's a person that studies something like every single thing has been covered.
I know.
And I know this only because do you remember for like a period of time, I think it was in New York, all these pigeons were wearing tiny little Make America Great Again hats. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, get this.
I had no idea. I thought you were going to say little fedoras.
No, although that's an, there's an idea. But,
yeah.
But no, they were wearing tiny little Make America Great Again hats.
Oh, my God.
And so they were red and the lettering was super tiny. And yeah, they were glued on. Oh, some of them had little Trump hair too glued onto their heads.
What?
And I actually, maybe it was in New York. It might have been somewhere in the South. But yeah, so people were just like, what's up with these pigeons? Like, what's on their heads? And then they got closer and they took photos and they're like, oh my God, it says Make America Great Again. Donald Trump's hair. It was like this conservative group that was like catching pigeons and then gluing these things on their heads and then releasing them to just, you know, gaslight the public.
What? But yeah.
Where?
Las Vegas.
Oh, it was Las Vegas. I'm getting word it was Las Vegas.
Gosh. I feel like there's so many issues you can have with that story, and I don't even know where to begin.
That's right. That's why it was overwhelming, because I was like, hold on. Okay. Wait, yeah. It's like the gluing onto
the
animals.
The little wigs, and then the political statement, if any. Like, I don't even understand what the point is, really.
I think it was just like a prank that was meant to also, I guess, just gaslight. Because I would feel crazy if I saw...
I would feel crazy as well.
A group of pigeons hanging out like that. And then so this lady, this is how I knew there was such a thing as like pigeon experts. There was this lady that was just like, yeah, we have a sanctuary for pigeons, and we collected a bunch of them. We're trying to take the glue off their heads. And she had like, she knew exactly how to do it, because pigeons' heads are like, you know, so-and-so doesn't do well with so-and-so materials. Like, she knew this kind of stuff, because that's what she does, is study pigeons.
Yeah.
But she would know about that egg. That egg
she would. She probably is shaking her head at us right now.
Yeah, being like, yeah, why would they do that?
Yeah.
Is it the hardest decision she ever had to make, or the easiest, you know?
Yeah. She's like, those bozos. I don't know what they're talking about.
So you would talk to a dog first, and what would be your first question?
I think I'd start with the dog, but you're right. I could probably, there's probably way more interesting choices I could have gone with. But I guess with the dog, I would say, what is your, what is the thing that humans do that you find the most disturbing?
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Also, because I feel like dogs are so loyal, I wonder if they would even say anything, like even say anything bad.
Yeah, they'd be like, I love all humans.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, that would be disappointing, though, a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm sure there would, I feel like there are dogs that are more maybe naughty or not as nice that probably would be willing to spill more tea.
I hope so. I hope that they're more, you know, they can live without us. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they
yes.
did. And Joel Kim Booster has a really funny joke.
Oh, right? That's right.
Where he points out this fact that I never even thought of, which is that dogs work for cops.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah. And like, to your point, like you ask them, hey, what's the worst thing about human beings? Or like, what disturbs you about human beings? If they said, like, if they were just like, nothing. Y'all are the greatest things ever, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
I would be like, oh, come on. I'll go ask the cat, you know?
Yeah.
The cat.
I know. Cats are probably ready to throw us all under the bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, I don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah. And this is dicey territory we're walking into, which is talking
Why?
About cats. Well, you know, it's just there's a few things you don't disclose, right? I feel like,
yeah.
Which is, are you a dog person or are you a cat person is one of them.
Oh, right.
But I'll say it right now on air.
What?
I'm a dog person.
Oh, I'm also a dog person, but I feel like I'm not anti-cat, which is a distinction I feel like some dog people make.
Yeah. Right. That's very true.
I think
I'm not
cats,
anti-cat.
I feel like I don't have as much of a comfort level with them, and I don't know if they do with me, but I'm not out here to disparage them.
I get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You heard it here first. She's not here to disparage them. Okay. I have another question in from a listener.
Okay.
Okay. This one's okay. We'll see how it goes. It's from Adam, undisclosed location. He says, "Can men be funny? Unclear. Please advise."
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very. This is a subjective.
It seems like he kind of answered his own question a little bit.
He did answer. It's very true. I think he was leaning towards a no.
Yeah, it seemed like he was doubting himself for having asked the question.
Or if he's funny, or if his whole gender is funny, because he said, can men be funny? Unclear.
Oh, right. I mean, I think it's just, I would go with, it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, just like, I agree. I mean, this is your question to answer in here. I'm being like... Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, I feel like some of them are doing a good job, and some of them I don't get it as much.
Who's the funniest guy you know, Aparna?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I have trouble picking favorites with funny because I feel like once you watch so much comedy, it feels like there's different varieties of it,
right?
And it's hard to pick. I do love someone who's really silly, so like a comedian I love to watch perform is like Rory Scovel or something, because he's just so
silly yeah.
and in the moment, so I really appreciate that a lot. But there's just so many, like Brent Weinbach is so weird. I love that he just says and thinks of things that I would never think of.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two. I love their silliness too. And like original, unique, absurd. And it's not necessarily things that like I could say.
Right.
You know, it's stuff that I wouldn't have thought of, but also like, could I get away with saying that? No, it's very much for some reason only like a Brett Weinbach.
Yeah.
Thing,
they're like, they're very much themselves. But I think I find that with all comedy now, like I almost enjoy watching that person be themselves more than like a specific joke or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's the funniest guy you know who's not a comedian?
Oh, dang, that's a good one.
Do you have any funny relatives? I'm curious. Do you like?
I bet I do, but now I'm like blanking on who's the funniest. I do like a really dry sense of humor, and I'm pretty sure I have like cousins who are very dry. Like just almost where they're not even trying to be funny, but that's just like their lens that they see the world through. Like they don't laugh, but they just say funny things.
Yeah. Do you ever dare say such a thing like, "Hey, you're really funny. You should try comedy." Okay,
Never.
not to your you like them. You like them. You
Yeah,
wouldn't say
I thought
that.
that was illegal as a comedian.
To tell other people,
They should do comedy.
I'm a psychopath. I've told my husband that. I've told my
Really?
grandma that. Yeah.
Whoa.
I kind of like encourage people. I don't know if I'm, yeah, if I truly think they're funny and they.
That's amazing. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone else I know doing that.
Yeah, although that would although that would be like my husband's like escape plan, not escape, but like if he wanted this marriage to fail, it would be a great like exit strategy to enter comedy.
Oh, as a way to create conflict between you guys?
Yeah, I think it would be, even though I encouraged it, I
Right.
would resent myself for saying that and then him actually doing it. And then,
Yeah. I think that was a plot line in Maria Bamford's show that her husband started stand up or something,
Oh,
I believe.
I missed that part.
Yeah, and then I think it like got on her nerves, but I don't think it ended up messing up the relationship, but I think it did create some friction.
Right, only because, yeah, right now it's him that listens to my premises that I'm
Right.
workshopping.
Right.
We can't both do it for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'm so now I'm curious. Okay, so you have some dry, funny cousins.
Yeah, my sister's partner is very, he makes a lot of jokes, but she always says they're bad jokes. But I don't think they're bad. I think they're kind of just like dad jokes.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate those. I like those
Yeah.
too. Yeah.
And he's like very dry, so it's all delivered very deadpan. So to me, that almost sells it more.
Yeah. Do you think that like humor and being funny is passed down and can it be passed down in DNA?
I think so, just because there's so many comedian families where it's like the grandfather did it and then the dad did it and then the kids do it.
Yeah.
But I can't tell if that's because they grew up around that sort of lifestyle or because they're just, it's like in their genes. I bet it's both, but I think you're right. I bet it is kind of genetic in a way.
I wonder, 'cause then I can't trace the closest person next nearest to me.
Really? What about your grandmother?
Yeah, my grandma's bubbly. Yeah, that's true. My
Okay.
grandma's pretty. She's funny and she's bubbly, but when I
Yeah.
tell her the kinds of jokes I like, she doesn't laugh.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my parents don't barely understand my humor.
Your mom, I did see that your mom is following you on Instagram
She
now.
She is.
Does that mean she's posting her own content too?
No, I don't think so. I think she only follows my sister and I, and that's it.
Oh.
And she's not posting, but she might.
Right, but it's more just like I'm gonna keep up with these girls.
Yeah.
And then she calls you about it, like, "Oh, that was a funny picture you posted."
Yeah.
It's
She'll verbally tell me about my post to me.
cool in a way you can catch up with them, they can catch up with you without you telling them everything, like this is what I've
Oh,
been up
yeah.
to. They know what you've been up to.
Yeah, and usually it is kind of horrifying when someone is like, oh, I like that thing you tweeted the other day. Like it feels a little bit like, oh, I don't want to mix that world with this real life world. But
Right.
with her, for some reason, it feels okay. Like it almost feels better that she's telling me about it over the phone than just writing a comment or something.
Yeah, that would be a little, you don't mix worlds, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to mix worlds.
Right. That's so insightful. I'm learning so much. My grandma and my mom aren't on the socials, you know?
Yeah,
They're on my socials.
Right, they make cameos.
They make cameos, and people are big fans of my grandma.
Oh, they're both great.
Yeah, they're both so great, and, you know, people have been like, Atsuko, you gotta start an account for them.
Oh, just for that content only.
Or just like my grandma has an Instagram, you know.
Have you ever talked to her about would she want her own Instagram?
I asked her. I just feel like it's going to be a lot, you know. I've talked about this before. I mean, she's 85. She's really right. Just going to be like, wake up and be like, I got to do a post. You know what I mean? She has to catch up with the hashtags and like also do a caption. You know, and I've talked about this before, but, you know, I kind of feel like some kind of stage mom a little bit now.
Yeah.
Where people are like, people hit me up about having my grandma in their projects and stuff.
What?
Where I have to be like, well, let me see if she'd be interested. You know, so I'm like the middle person.
You're her manager.
Yeah. Where I have to field projects. Some of them I outright just say no without even asking her because.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like.
Like a web commercial? No way.
Web commercial. Or it's like, sorry, she's not going to do your student short.
right.
Okay. For 12 hour day, she can't stand on her feet that long. That. You know what I mean? But that's why I'm like, is she ready for, you know, the internet can be mean. I just don't want her to have an Instagram.
Yeah, you're looking out for her.
Yeah. Last thing I want is like her scrolling to see her likes and then some dude being like, you're dumb. And then, you know.
Ugh, no way.
No, not today.
I wonder that with people who have those like famous pets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like people Instagram dogs and cats. I'm like, how much time does this take up for them? Because they're doing all of it, essentially, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of time. A lot of curating, taking of the photos.
Yeah.
Captioning.
I wonder if there's ever any resentment towards the animal.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that one of my friends went to go meet one of these Instagram famous cats.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram famous cat. I think it's they call him like psychic cat or something.
Whoa.
He wears sunglasses and you kind of like sit by him and you're supposed to feed off of his energy.
Whoa.
And I guess like he reads your future and you walk away more enlightened or something like that.
Whoa.
A friend of mine went to go meet the cat. It was like a long line to meet the cat and take a photo with it. And he said, so the owner was there and the cat smelled like pee.
Oh no.
Yeah. And when the owner handed him the cat was just like almost lifeless. Oh. He was like, I think it was sedated so that it would take photos for hours. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's very grim.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit of like possible, like, you know, yes, there's resentment and then possibility of like abuse.
Abuse, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that feels like the true dark underworld of internet famous animals.
Yeah, totally. I didn't
watch Tiger King, but I for some reason it made me think of Tiger King.
Yeah, it's a little like Tiger King, but yeah, with a cat, I mean, you can do so much more. Right. You know what I mean? You can make it ride a bicycle. You can have it sit on your head.
But yeah, just the exploitative factor.
Yeah. I don't know why it got so dark.
I know we can't help it. We try to go light and then we go dark.
I don't know where I got there. Oh, you were joking. Like, is there possible resentment that happens, you know, when you have like a Instagram, like a pet that's a celebrity on Instagram?
I think that's my gift and my curse, is like I have to like find the pain in everything.
No, because I could have taken that and run with it in a really positive way. You know, I'm like, sure, they resent them, but think of all the money.
but I was like, you know, oh, that's not what I was getting at.
No, you were talking about, yeah, animal abuse. Yes.
Yeah.
And I got us there. And so we got here because we read off your three facts, right?
Oh, that's right.
The ability to talk to animals. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to play a game really quick.
Oh, great.
Before we go, I wanted to play a game based on your fear.
Okay.
Which is,
oh boy,
running out of small talk with an acquaintance. So let's do a minute of small talking.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
We can't talk about anything deep.
Okay. Okay.
This is an empathy game. We're putting ourselves into other people's shoes for a minute. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
People do this.
So are we pretending we know each other less than we do, or are we same people?
Yeah, let's pretend that we don't know each other as well.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, like we've seen each other on a flyer.
Okay, okay.
All right, ready? I got a minute on the clock.
All right.
And go.
Oh, I was just noticing, I love your nails. I love the nail color that you did.
Oh, thank you so much. It's actually two nail colors.
I know, that's what I was appreciating, that it's not every other one, but it's like two of them on each.
Yeah.
Are a different color.
Yeah.
Did you do them yourself?
I did do them myself, yeah.
Wow.
And like it's almost every other one, but it's not. Because I like see this one, these are two blue, so it's not every other one.
Well, I always, my problem with doing my own nails is one hand always comes out good and the other one looks like something went wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Because one hand is like stronger than the other one.
But it looks like you judging off of yours, it looks like you're ambidextrous because they both look flawless.
Oh, and what? That was a minute.
That was a minute?
That was a minute.
I was already like, what am I going to talk about after her nails?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even let it go beep, 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 beep. I didn't want to cause anxiety. But yeah, that was a minute. Wow.
Oh my gosh. That's my go-to strategy, is compliment the other person on something.
I was going to say, you're actually, for someone who fears it, you're actually pretty good.
But that was my one tactic. After that, I would have been floundering.
Because you had question after question and actual interesting facts that you were throwing in.
Like, I don't know. I think for me, in my head, it was like, keep talking.
Yeah, no, but I was impressed. Like, I couldn't even ask you anything. It was all about me.
I didn't even let you.
Maybe you should be a life coach.
No. I would make everything dark.
You made me feel really good for that minute.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then I got scared. I started getting insecure that we've been small talking this whole hour. Because I was like, wait, this is kind of actually a part of this talk about my nails that is kind of intriguing. And I was like, oh, wait, have we just been small talking for an hour? Have I been doing this to Aparna?
No.
And then I broke out into a sweat. And then the minute was like, hey, you can stop now.
It's so easy to, I just find that it's so easy to spiral when you're talking to someone else. And then you realize that you're not paying attention to the conversation anymore.
Right. Yeah. 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 No, that was very interesting. That was Aparna doing small talk.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
A master. Yeah. A master
for myself too.
Well, that has actually been our show.
Oh, great.
One day soon, when we're all open up, I would love to have you on the live show again.
I would love to actually be on the live show.
Yeah, you know.
Instead of just almost be on the live show.
Usually there are other people playing with you and
yeah.
And there's a winner and prizes, but today you are the winner.
Oh, thank you so much.
You reign champion. Aparna, is there like a something you're excited about that people you want people to check out, whether it's your thing? I never give that option. I don't know why I'm doing it today. Do you have something that you want people to check out that might be coming out or that's already out?
There is a show on Netflix called Space Force that comes out on May 29th that I did a guest part on. So they can see me on that.
On Space Force, May 29th. Look out for it. Thank you so much, Aparna. And that's been Let's Go, Let's Go. Woo-hoo!